Well, I want to talk about the will of God this morning. Thy will be done. So, thy will be done, and we know, and we'll read it here in a minute, I believe, but even if we didn't, we kind of know that where that's from, and where the Lord was teaching him to pray, and it's in the Lord's Prayer, and he says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So, our burden this morning is our part. That song was talking about, "Let me touch him so that others may know and be blessed." You know, we want to have that kind of heart. If the Lord's kingdom is going to be seen while this earth exists, then it's going to be through those who believe in Him. But it's going to take those who believe in Him having a heart for that. And I think if we don't, that God works on us and chastens us, but it's something that we can kind of gloss over and not think about sometimes. The will of God's going to be done on earth. Now, I don't mean God's in control. His will be done. But there's an element of His will in reaching out to others that we have the opportunity to have a part in. And as a Christian, we have, well, it's a responsibility. It's something that's assigned to us to be His hand extended. But it doesn't just happen. It happens by us that mattering to us, that being, we want to do our part. I want to do my part in your will, in this being, your will being done on earth. And so we can, and it's kind of like not trying to go through the whole message right now, but I want to establish something, the thought, before we then go through the message. We can go as far as to make sure that we're living a clean life. And everything's done. But the will of God involves more than just making sure I'm clean. It involves me being a light, being an example, me being there for Him to use, for saint and sinner alike, if it's for encouragement, for whatever. It's getting to a place where, like, Lord, we want to see your will done. I'm not just here to be clean. I want to have my part in it. I want to see your kingdom, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, Lord, what is my part to take in there? It's not just to live a clean life. That is absolutely, we talked about Sunday school a little bit about being set in gold, being the stone that's set in gold on the breastplate that they wore. We're to be set in gold. We're to be purified. The Lord would have that for us. And that's salvation and sanctification, keeping us clean. But He's got a will that goes even beyond that, that He wants to work through us so that His will can be done on earth through the vehicle He has chosen. God could have done it any way He wanted to. It said the rocks could have cried out. He didn't set it up that way. He set it up for His will to be done through us, and it means more than just keeping us clean and keeping us pure. All right, that is absolutely paramount. It all starts with that. But there's so much more beyond that that God desires to do in this world. And He's allowing us to have a part. But He's also expecting us to have a part. So we want to look at that. Thy will be done, doing our part. And specifically this morning, we think about doing our part. This is why sometimes it's a struggle for us, because it's one thing to be washed clean, but then the sacrifices that come, that are called for in order for me to do my part in the will of God being done on earth as it is in heaven, are things sometimes I'd rather not think about. Being absolutely point blank, I would... Now, you live it long enough, you realize the joy and that there's no blessings like the blessings you get from laying down your life and letting God's will be done through you here on earth. There's no greater joy, but there are things it involves. In fact, we have some examples recently of people who've allowed God to do whatever he wanted in their life, and it wasn't a pleasant experience. The results were glorious. The experience was rough. And there are people right now who are desiring God to do his will through them. The experience is not, it's not pleasant a lot of times. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it's not. The results are glorious. They are worth it for us to have that desire, to feed it in our life, and to follow it. All right, so that verse that we quoted there where he's teaching them to pray is in 11 and 2 of Luke. So Luke, the 11th chapter, and we'll see it in the second verse. And it says, "And it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth." You know in earth, in heaven, how the Lord's will is done? How is the Lord's will done in heaven? It talks about angels that do his will. That they're there to do his will, whatever it may be. Now, God has the ability to do it however he wants to. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But he has a vehicle in heaven whereby he accomplishes his will. All right? As an example for the vehicles on earth who would accomplish his will. They without choice, but us by free will, that we would serve God and we would not just look to be clean, but we would look to be servants. Doing his will, as it talks about in Romans, and I don't have that verse today, but it talks about being made free from sin. You became servants to Christ, to God. This is not just about you being clean. If you want the joys and the blessings of the Lord, and you want to see his kingdom come, and you want to see the experience the glory of it in your life to the fullest, then you have to be willing to take the steps necessary to allow him to work his will through you. What's it going to call for you today? It's going to take some sacrifice. Not every day. We don't sit here and crawl upstairs backwards every day. That's not the will of God. That doesn't accomplish it. But there's times where he's got something he wants to do, and it's going to take you laying down something, your time, your money, your belongings, your space, your health, your fears. What are you going to have to lay down? Because you're going to have to lay down something, because the flesh is not going to accomplish the will of God. So it's going to have to lay down and get out of the way if the will of God is going to be accomplished through you, which you are the vehicle he has chosen for his will to be accomplished here on earth. He could have done it anyway, but he chose you. All right? You know, in 2 Peter, there's something about the will of God that we really want to get a hold of this morning. What I remember, some of you knew Sister Marie Mitchell. And I was blessed to be around her a little bit. Her and Brother Manuel were very, very sweet, very precious people. And she came to the end of her life, and she went through some things there at the end that were not pleasant. And I remember in a discussion it being said, Sister Marie, you know, the Lord's worth it. What you're going through is really not much else, but the Lord is worth what you're going through. But it took her being willing to go through those things to experience the blessings that the Lord did have for her in that thing. And so this morning, there's a thought that we have to have as we do that, You know, if we don't get a hold of that, of what the Lord's will really is in the end, I'm not talking about specifically now, you know, like for this moment. I'm talking about the end result of his will. What is that? Well, it says here in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter and the 9th verse. Of course, it starts off and says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward." And here's what I want us to get a hold of. "Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You know, whatever the temporary will, whatever the vehicle, whatever the mode that God's going to choose to accomplish his will through you, he's saying, okay, you want my will to be accomplished here on earth? Well, here's your part. Here's the vehicle that I want you to climb in and go through in this time in your life. You know, whatever that is, the ultimate will of God and the reason why these things are happening is that God is not willing that any should perish. You realize souls are hanging in the balance, and maybe it's your soul. Most likely it is your soul that may be hanging in the balance in your life. So when you're facing this thing and you know God's calling you and he's leading you to a place and you're struggling with it, remember this. The end result of what the Lord's will is that no one should perish. You can't do any better to help that along than to be willing to climb into the vehicle that he has for you. And not scream and holler out the windows as you're riding in it, but to ride in it at peace with the Lord, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. You want to see the will of God done, this is the vehicle by how you're going to do your part in this life. All right. You know, I was thinking about how that, I don't know how quite to relate this, but I feel like I should, so you pray for me. But, you know, I always kind of like baseball in this respect. I'm not really good, all that great at it. I love sports, and there's sports that I feel like I really enjoy, and I do okay. Baseball, I'm fine, but I'm not y'all seen. I don't have to explain that very much. All right. But what I did love about baseball is I loved the numbers. I could tell you averages when I was a boy, and I used to get cards, and I could just tell you who batted what. And not just that, I could tell you how it got there. Well, okay, they're 2-for-8, so their batting average is .250. They're 15-for-30. Their batting, which that would be really good, but their batting average is .500. All right, it was all the things that went into getting that average. It was affected by what happened each time that person came up to the plate. You know, how many times is God going to bring a vehicle up for you, throw a pitch to you? You know, we can bat 1,000. It's probably, I'm going to be honest, I think that's a pretty high level of success. But we can. We can bat 1,000 on this. If we're willing to swing as he has shown us to do. But each time I step to the plate, it affects the average. There's outcomes. You know, if I miss it here, and I don't want this isn't about the pressure, but it's just the recognition that there's a purpose behind what I'm doing. There's a reason why I'm at the plate right now. And my average affects everybody on the team, so to speak, in a way. Has the possibility to bring others home. Now, they still have to run. They can't stand there on the base, but they got to run. They got to come around, whatever I do. But I have the chance to do. Sometimes, you know, the coach calls for a bunt. And that pretty much means he really thinks you're fixing to get out. But there's somebody that needs to be moved along. Are you willing to bunt? A lot of young guys, you mean I've got to bunt? No, that's not. I don't want to do that. How are we as Christians? Are we willing to bunt? You know what? They have a little thing in baseball. If you do something to move somebody along, it doesn't affect your average. It doesn't bring you down when you get out because it was a sacrifice. you intentionally sacrifice. You hit one up in the air and it moves them along. It doesn't affect your average. Yeah, a lot of times it may be just with the scoring, whatever it may be. But you accomplish what you meant to with that, and it doesn't affect it. You know, the Lord, are we willing to lay down the bunt, so to speak, for Him, when it's not really what we want in life? Are we willing to take a swing? You know, there was a pitcher, they used to let pitchers hit, and I remember this story. There's a pitcher who literally stood at the plate like this with a bat on his shoulder, and he told, I don't know if it was the catcher or the pitcher, he said, "I'm not swinging. I'm not swinging. I'm not going to swing." You know, not long after that, they stopped letting pitchers bat. But anyways, they changed that up. But anyways, he just sat there. Lord, help us. It's our time at the plate. It was His time at the plate. He walked up there. He walked up, and He just stood there, and He didn't take the swing. Why didn't He take the swing? Well, He might have had several reasons. He might have been afraid. He didn't want to run the bases. He didn't want to wear himself out doing that. He thought it was foolish to try that. His real goal was pitching. He might have been afraid he was going to get hurt. What about us as Christians? Are we not swinging because we're afraid? It's going to wear me out to do this. It's going to hurt to do this. There's something else more important for me to do. That's probably really when it came down to this and the story, the way I remember it. It's more about, why am I batting? I'm a pitcher. Am I at the plate and God's put me there and I'm looking at it and going, there's something more important for me to do. I don't have time for this. I shouldn't even be out here. Why has God got me here? You know, none of that's going to get the will of God accomplished in our life. We need to step up to the plate and just do what the Lord's telling us. Is He telling us to bunt? Is He telling us to swing? Is He telling us to hit it up? Is He telling us to try to hit a grounder? What is He telling us to do? Hit it to this side of the field? Hit it to that side of the field? Look at what God's telling you to do and just do it with all your heart, whatever it means. You know, Romans 8 and 28. It was a very common verse here. We want to go ahead and read it. And then we want to take a little deeper look at it. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Now, we know enough that we probably kind of dissect this verse a little bit and say, well, you know, it means a little more than just a pleasant life. All right. But let's cement that, okay? 2 Timothy. The first chapter. This is the same Paul who wrote Romans 8 and 28. And he did not talk out of both sides of his mouth. All right? I'm sorry, I'm in 1 Timothy. All right, 2 Timothy 1 and 9. And let's actually... let's read this. "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." The Lord has called you for His purpose. All right? It's like we talked about with the manager. You know, when that player comes up to the plate, the manager's over there and he's given signs. Why is he given signs? Because it's not about what the batter wants to do. It's not about what the batter wants to do. It's about what the manager sees needs to happen. So the Lord's giving us signs. Are we listening? Are we, well, I think this is what I'll do this time. You know, there's a story about Ty Cobb, who's a famous baseball player, and the manager supposedly gave him a sign to bunt, and he pulled the bat back and hit a home run. You'd think, oh, that made everything okay. It did not. Make everything okay. And in the Lord, it doesn't. Remember all the stories in the Bible about people thought they had a better idea. It didn't work out well. That's how Saul lost his kingdom. All right? So we're saved not according to our own works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. All right? But let's read the verse right before this and put it together with this. It says, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. You know, this partaker of the afflictions, it means to suffer hardship in company with. So this is not just about whether or not, you know, sometimes I think, well, if the Lord brought a sickness on me, I realize, you know, maybe something I need to endure through that. This means so much more than that. God may have that for you. He may, for some reason, have an affliction he puts on your body for some reason. And you know what? There's no better way than to trust the Lord and seek him in that, what his will is for that matter in your life. Okay? But it means so much more than that. Are we willing to suffer hardship with? Are we willing, for the sake of the gospel, to have some things not work out the way we wanted them to in our life? If that's what God calls for. And by that, I don't mean that things fall apart. We're not meant to be a failure. But God may mean for you to be a success in a little bit different way than what you thought he did. God always brings that in your life. Are we willing to accept that? Be not ashamed, therefore, of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. This is how the power of God works in our life. This is how his will comes down and is present here on earth. It's accomplished. It's through his people who are willing to suffer hardship in company with him. You know, 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Once again, this is the same Paul that says, all things work together for the good to them that are the called. All right, so 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. The 9th chapter and the 12th verse. And Paul is, to just get a little bit of the context here, he's dealing with some people just being like faulted him for some things. But that's not what we want to see here, is how Paul looked at the situation, the reason why he did what he did in this situation. It says, if others be partakers of this power of you, are we not rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power. Okay, that's how he had dealt with the situation. Why did he deal with it that way? All right, it says, but we suffer all things lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm up at the plate, I'm swinging, and I don't really know why you told me to do this, but this is what I'm going to do this way this time, because I see the signs from you, and this is what you're wanting, and I'm willing to suffer whatever it is that I need to suffer, or whatever situation I need to go through in life. I'm willing to go through it because I want to see the gospel flourish. I want to see the good news flourish. I want to see the mission of God accomplished in life, not the mission of Brandon. Lord, help me. You know, I mean, this very easy could be just y'all get to listen to God talk about me this morning. I don't know. Lord, help me that it's not that I'm not stepping up there trying to accomplish what Brandon thinks needs to happen, but that I'm up there so that the will of God may be made manifest on earth through me in whatever way God chooses to. He said he suffered all things lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. All right. Suffer, the word suffer, does anybody remember what that means, the Greek? We talked about it just a little bit. I think, maybe, you know, I get things in my head, and sometimes we have it. So instead of putting you on the spot, I'll just tell you what it means. It means to endure patiently. Not hollering at the windows of the vehicle that God's given you to go through this time in your life. Not screaming, not complaining about it. But instead of all those cares and those frustrations that are making you want to scream and making you want to, you cast them on the Lord. And you let him know how you feel. That's how you ride in the car the way God wants you to. He knows that you're not enjoying this in a lot of ways, but he's able to help you endure if you're willing to endure for Him, if you're willing to cast those cares on Him and take and step into the vehicle and ride. Philippians, the third chapter. Again, this is Paul, the same one who wrote, "All things work together for good." Philippians, the third chapter. You say, well, the seventh verse, we'll start with the seventh verse. It says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." You know, the Lord's able to be reached. But if we're going to reach Him, it's going to take being willing to lay down who we are and allow Him to take over, that we might know the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And not only that, I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. For a purpose, for a reason. There's a reason why I'm looking at the manager and thinking, I'd sure like to hit a home run, but I'm going to lay a button down. There's a reason why this vehicle pulled up and it says something on the side of it that I don't want anything to do with, so to speak. But the Lord said, open up the door and get in. There's a reason why. It's not because that's just who I have to be in life. It's because in those things is where I find the excellency of the knowledge of my Lord. It's in those things that I find His will being accomplished through my life. And if I'm not willing to open the door and get in there, then what can the Lord do? What can the Lord accomplish for me? I'm not going to be able to see the true beauty He's trying to show me in life and the things He's trying to do in my life. And I might even be hindering the gospel of God. Lord, help me to be willing to get in there. All right? How determined are we to see the will of God accomplished? Hebrews, the fifth chapter. The fifth chapter, and we'll start with the seventh verse. And this is speaking of Christ. All right? "Who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save Him from death, was heard in that He feared. And though He were a son, yet He learned obedience by the things which He suffered." You know, we've got a verse in a minute we'll read. But get a hold of that. "Yet learned He obedience." How? By the things which He suffered. That was an example of how it's going to happen in our life. It wasn't just a path that He had to take. That was an example for us. That for us to learn obedience, there's going to be times where we have to be willing to open that door. Well, every time we're put in that situation, we're going to have to be willing to open that door to really learn what we need to learn in life. All right? But then it says more there. On past that, it says, "and being made perfect." Remember, the word perfect is not just about some, we get the idea of a perfect image that is just, you know, whatever we want to say about that. But perfect means complete. Why aren't we whole? Why do we feel like there's gaps in our life? Why do we feel like we're missing something? Well, it's because we're not willing to open the door and get in. If you're not, then there are going to be holes in your life. Whatever that means to you, there's going to be spaces that God's trying to get to and try to work in, and you're stopping because you're not willing to open the door. You don't have to go look for suffering. We're not talking about that this morning. But there's going to be times where it comes along in your life. And it may be as simple as just not getting to do something that you really wanted to do. And you had to put it off to the side for some reason. You know, in that, you're allowing God to fill a hole that would be in your life if you didn't make that choice. It's worth it. All right? And so it says, being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey Him. How do we learn obedience? Through the things which we suffer in life. through the things we go through, whether they're really painful even physically, or they're just things that we just put things to the side that we might want to have done something different, but know that there's a different path the Lord's calling us to. All right? 1 Peter 5 and 10. Says, well, let's look up here. Let's pick up in the 8th verse, because, you know, it's like we said in Sunday school, this isn't just about some lollipop over here where we want to taste what's really good in life. And, you know, we're like, well, but I don't want to go through that, so I'm just not going to taste the lollipop. It's in tasting that that we avoid the poison replica. You know, I remember Mike Whitehead talking about plants. He loved plants. He studied plants out. He said, you know, there is, for every good plant that you can eat in the woods and you can use for different reasons for health and things like that, there's a poison replica. And there's a way to tell a difference, but it's very small. All right? So it's not just that we're not eating the good. You're going to eat one or the other. You need to pay attention to what the Lord's trying to do in your life. Because if you're not partaking of what He's putting out on your plate, then there's another plate that's going to be out there that you will eat of. All right? And so this here says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brother in the world, the same suffering, the same hardships. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, after you have experienced some hardships, what is the after with God? When we become a part of his will and are willing to allow his will to be accomplished in our life, what is the after with God? That's what we're really looking at. You know, the now is just temporary, but the after is forever, okay? So what is the after with God? After you have suffered a while, make you perfect, again, complete, establish you, which means to turn, this Greek word means to turn you resolutely in a certain direction, all right? Strengthen you, which means to confirm in spiritual knowledge and power, all right? And settle you. Lay a basis for you. That's what that word means. So what's the end with God? Okay? Make you complete. Turn you resolutely in a certain direction. Confirm you in spiritual knowledge and power. And lay a basis for you. A foundation. Sounds like he's working for something really good in your life. Something you're going to be thankful to have as a result of what you're going through. Lord, help us to be willing to open the door and get in. You know, the Psalms 119 and 67 will be our last verse here. Let's turn over there and read that. And if you're like me, when the Lord was kind of bringing this message, I just kept waiting. I was like, oh God, I know at some point this verse is going to come up here. So here it is. And maybe you were thinking the same thing and wondering when it would come up. But now is the time. Psalms 119 and 67. All right? It says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have kept your word. You know who the Lord's going to come make his abode with? What does it say in John, the 14th chapter? It talks about, if any man keep my commandments, if any man keep my word. You know, if I look at that door to that car and say, no, I don't have a promise that I'm going to be able to keep the word of God in my life. I need to start seeing these situations and the things that come along as part of what it allows me and enables me to keep the word of God so that he can come and dwell in me and live in me and abide in me forever. I don't know of anything I want more than that. I want the Lord to abide with me and I want to abide with him. So I want to be willing to lay down the bunt, if that's what he's saying. I want to be willing to open the door and get into the car, whatever the name is on the side of that car. All right? I want to be willing to do whatever he's showing me to do in life. Because before I was afflicted, I went astray. Before I was humbled, this word affliction here has a little bit of connotation of being humbled in it. All right, the Hebrew word there. Before I was humbled, before I had to endure, before I had to say, you know, not my will but yours be done, Lord, they're not the same. It says, it's real nice that we feel like our will's kind of lining up. And a lot of times we want to live for the Lord. We want to please Him. We want to serve Him. All right, that's what God wants. A lot of times it's, you know, it seems like they're lining up pretty good. But then there's times we're like, yeah, but not that. But that's where the Lord is going to keep you. That's where He's going to enable you to keep His word. And He'll be with you. Remember, get in the car. Don't start fussing like nobody's in there with you. The Lord's riding with you in that car. All right? The Lord's going to be there for you. Cast your cares on Him. Don't holler them out the window. There's nobody out there is going to come along and help you. All right? The Lord's there with you in the car. Talk to Him. Cast your burdens on Him. You know, I thank the Lord that we can be a part of His will being accomplished here on earth. And I want to encourage us to be willing to do that. It's worth it. It's where the glory of God will be revealed in our life. How intent are you at serving Christ? Are you doing your part to see His will accomplished? You pray for me.